This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, look at that. We are live at the Douglas County Fair. Thanks for listening this afternoon. We get out here every year at least once to check things out, and a lot going on out here. And we've got some folks to talk to in this segment. State Senator David Brock Smith coming over. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Kyle, for coming to the fair today. It's amazing to be here. It's a beautiful day and beautiful afternoon here in Douglas County at the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
Now, I know with your district, this is probably – how many county fairs have you been to so far?
Well, this is the third and last fair in the district. First, it was Coos County, and then it was Curry County, and finishing up with the Douglas County Fair here in Roseburg.
And are you in one particular location for the most part out here?
Yeah, we have a Representative Osborne and I have a booth inside. And so please come and talk to us. We're here so that we can listen to you and get your take on what's going on, ask questions, and be able to talk about what's happening in Salem and what might be coming up here in the special session that the governor called at the end of the month.
And what about coming out to county fairs? I mean, you've done this for a long time. Do you feel like there are folks that you really only meet at something like this? I mean, if you normally did a political forum or a campaign event or something, some people maybe wouldn't come to that, but they're already at the county fair and they've been thinking about something, and there you are.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, you get all walks of life down here at the at our county fairs, and it's fantastic to have the opportunity to be here, and it's great that Representative Osborne puts together the booth, and we sit there, and we have a wonderful time with them, because you get those all walks of life walking by, and you can ask different questions from, I need help with the Water Resources Department to, what's going on with this? And so sometimes we have to direct them to different agencies and or different agencies within the county, because that line between state or local government kind of gets blurred sometimes. And so we're able to direct folks where they need to go. Or we might just be sitting there just talking about how we have fantastic fairs down here in Southwest Oregon, especially down here in Roseburg, and all of our 4-H kids that are doing an amazing, amazing job. Because, as you know, up in the urban areas, they're kind of getting away from what is the root of the fair, which is the youth and the connection to the agricultural and ranching that created the fairs in the first place.
Well, and, of course, this facility, I mean, it's been here, I forget how far back it began, but been here for decades. They keep improving it, working on adding new things. Got Douglas Hall air-conditioned last year.
Yep.
That was, I've been here a long time, and that used to be one of the things about, Douglas Hall, okay, and it's 95 degrees outside, just how hot is it inside Douglas Hall? It sometimes resembled Miami.
Yes.
And,
the Commissioner Kress, Commissioner Freeman, and Commissioner Boyce, and working with the Fair Board, have been dedicated to Douglas County, of course, and Douglas County Fairgrounds, because it's such an important part of Douglas County and everything that we're doing here at the Douglas County Fair.
Now, you got a background as a professional chef and restaurateur and all that. So you kind of go around and check out fair food that's maybe a little different than what you might create when you were doing all that?
I do check out fair food, and there's some great food down here at the Douglas County Fair. I am excited to have some late lunch later at the 4-H kitchen, however, because I hear the 4-H kitchen is putting out some of the best food out here on the fairground. So, but there's everything from Asian and yakisoba to what I call armadillo eggs, but the cream cheese stuff, bacon wrapped jalapenos and turkey legs, the pastrami sandwiches, and everything in between. So I try to shed a few pounds before fair so that I can do the sampling of the fair food while I'm here.
Well, and supposedly there's this invoked clause that the entire food court is calorie free.
Well,
I don't know that is totally accurate, but it may help people cope.
Well, there you go. I don't believe that that's accurate at all, but you never know. I mean, there are some folks that can eat anything and it is frankly calorie free. I do not have those genes.
Yeah, well, I did when I was like 25 or 30, and then it seemed to change later. That's a whole other show in itself. Let's talk about the upcoming special session. Governor rolled out some information yesterday about that. And what are you thinking? What do you think it looks like starting on the 29th?
Well, I think you have a governor that's called a special session. She has told us that she has the votes with her Democrat caucuses and the supermajority to pass it. I don't believe that that's true, but we'll see when we go in on the 29th. I think that she thinks that it's just going to be, you know, ram this thing through. Well, that isn't going to happen, because I can tell you that my Senate Republican colleagues and I probably won't see the bill come to our chamber until late Sunday, early Monday. We're not going to allow the Democrats to just ram this through and the governor to do so. We want the people to be engaged in the process, just like if it was any other piece of legislation. And frankly, I want to have that conversation of how they want to double the payroll tax, because that's what in the Oregonian article, it talks about the transit tax. But that transit, that public transit piece, is paid for by a payroll tax on everyone's paycheck. And so that is what's paying that public transit. And right now, my understanding is 58% of that payroll tax that is collected goes and funds TriMet and in Metro, which is ridiculous. And they haven't seen anywhere near the rebound from their pre-COVID numbers. And if anything, and if the Democrats are going to do that, then there needs to be a more of a percentage to come to rural public transit, because the folks like out in Glide that need to utilize those services, it costs us more to run them here into Roseburg, for example. I got folks that live in Curry County that use public transit to have to go to Coos Bay for cancer treatment, right? And so, all every day. And so there are critical issues. It's going to be a fight. I don't believe that she might not have the votes to get this thing done. She's going to have to break in her caucus members' arms to do it, and we're going to be holding them accountable every step of the way.
What do you think, and I know that earlier in the session, the GOP kind of had a proposal about ODOT. It seemed like it fell on kind of deaf ears.
Well, it did, and that's one of the things that in the governor's statements, my understanding is she's been working with the Republicans. No, she hasn't. I mean, colleague who is the co-chair or co-vice chair of the Joint Committee on Transportation, Senator Starr, was just in Boston with him at National Conference of State Legislators. Flew in yesterday afternoon back in Eugene and came down here. And we had this conversation. The governor has not been working with any of the Republicans. The Republicans, both the House and Senate, put forward a package that has huge cost savings that would have saved nearly $700 million. They're spending $29 million just on DEI programs within ODOT's budget alone, ODOT's department alone, which is ridiculous. But one of the real maddening things, Kyle, is suddenly ODOT's going to lay off 500 jobs, roughly, and the sky is falling, and we're calling a special session. But we've lost thousands and thousands of private sector jobs because of Democrat policies that are moving businesses out of the state, and that falls on deaf ears. And so it's very frustrating that when these union dues jobs that then fund Democrat campaigns are going away, oh my goodness, we got to come in there and raise taxes on citizens in Oregon to make sure that they stay. Now, mind you, the services are critically important. These are road maintenance jobs. These are making sure that the snowplows are running and roads are safety when there's accidents. They're the ODOT crews that are going out there making sure the officers are safe and clearing the roads. Don't get me wrong, but it is very frustrating that there has been no effort from the Democrats to work with the Republicans and the Republican proposals in this package.
Now, you mentioned being in Boston on Wednesday. Talk about what you did back there.
So, of course, I'm the deputy leader for the Senate Republican Caucus, and every year we have a national conference of state legislators. This year it was in Boston. So it had over 5,000 in attendance. It was the highest attended conference in NCSL history. I'm on the NCSL Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee. So we have resolutions that we deal with as well. Plus, we vote collectively as each state. And so it was critically important that I was there for our Senate Republican Caucus, engaging in, you know, it's every hour and a half there are breakout sessions. And so we had a breakout session on wildfire, and I'm the CSG West co-chair of the Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee as well. There was breakout sessions that I attended on a number of things: housing, insurance, how to help kids make sure that we aren't, that they're staying on a better path and not getting in juvenile justice, and so on and so forth. And so you just are able to collaborate with legislators from other states from across the country, so you don't have to look at reinventing the wheel and look at other states and what they've been doing, see what we can, what kind of ideas we can bring back to push back against the Democrat supermajority in Oregon.
All right, State Senator David Brock Smith stopping by our booth today. Thanks for coming over.
Kyle, thank you, and thanks to these 4-H folks that are going to, these gals that are going to be coming on here in the next segment.
Yeah, Ben, and we're going to be back in just a moment. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's Inside Douglas County, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County. It is 12:47. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Looks like on Monday's program, we're going to be talking with Judge Robert Johnson and take a look at the drug court program in Douglas County. They've got a graduation coming up very soon. Well, our second segment today, I want to talk about 4-H and the big event today. Rebecca Melton, talk about what's coming on this afternoon.
Yeah, Kyle, we have our annual 4-H FFA Rotary Junior Livestock Auction. And this is a great event. We see members from all across our community, a wide range of businesses that come and support all these kids and the work that they have put into their animals. We have kids today that are selling their steers, their hogs, and their goats. These projects have been running for a very long time, and this is how we get to see that next step for them and getting to sell those projects.
So we've got a couple of kids here. We're going to hand this to you, and there you go. So tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Madeline Goslin.
And who's with you?
Hi, I'm Addie Cross.
So, Addie, what animal or animals do you have out here?
I have a steer and 2 sheep through 4-H, and I have 1 sheep in FFA, and I'm selling my steer.
So, how long have you been dealing with the steer?
I've had him since October 9th of 2024. So, we did the math, and I have him exactly 10 months tomorrow.
Wow. And what kind of things have you learned during this process?
How to feed him, clip him, fit him, and do his daily hair care, because I'm used to sheep, and it's a lot different compared to the sheep because they're bigger animals, and we have to rinse their full body, not just their legs. So he gets rinsed every day.
That seems like a lot of work.
It is.
So you don't have, like, something that the steer can just stand in, and you don't have, there's not like a shower for steers, I don't suppose.
No, we have a big wash rack that we have poles set up between, and he goes in between the poles, and he gets rinsed with the water, and then we brush his hair in a certain way, so it trains the hair to go that way. When we go to fit him, it's already trained, and we don't have to fight the hair to go the way we want it to.
Wow, so how many animals do you have out here?
I have brought 8 pigs to the county fair. Yes, I have 4 entered in FFA and selling my market hog through FFA, and then 4 entered in the 4-H.
How long have you been doing this?
For 7 years.
So do you guys have like a farm or something?
Yeah, I live on a farm and I have my own breeding program. So most of my pigs I'm showing, I have bred myself.
and you probably kind of just grew up around this then.
I have about 12 sows right now, and I'm going to be keeping back 4 of my current show gilts. I'll be showing them through December and then retire them.
And how much free time can you possibly have dealing with all these animals?
Well, I homeschooled for the first 10 years of my life, and that's all I do is pigs. I'm not into sports.
So you had a little more flexibility then?
Yes.
So what's it like to be leading a lot of this?
Oh, gosh. You know, it is a lot of work, but it is a great passion to see everything the kids put into this program and to see the growth that they have and the great information that they gain, not only on how to select livestock and how to care for them, but really the business aspects of it as well.
So let's talk about the sort of the practical aspects of the auction, because it's moved around a little bit this year. It is today. Explain what's ahead in the coming hours.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock, we are going to kick off our auction today. At 2:30, we start buyer registration, so we are still taking, of course, our previous buyers and then our new buyers, too, today. Registration is completely open and free to the public. We will be starting off our sale today by selling our steers and breaking for our buyer's barbecue. We have a great Umpqua FFA alumni that helps put on that barbecue for us. They do an excellent job. And after that, we'll be selling our goats and hogs.
Now, if somebody hasn't been out to see this before, where do they go when they come to the main gate of the fair?
Yeah, they're going to go straight through that main gate and keep walking until they see a lot of panels and either steers, hogs, or goats.
And like you said, people can still get signed up to be part of this, right?
Absolutely. We have rolling registration through the whole event.
And how long do you think this takes? Do you go into the evening away?
We do. So like I said, we start at 4 o'clock. We will probably be done selling our steers at about 5:30, 5:45 would be my guess. Break for dinner. We actually take a pretty quick dinner, and then my guess would be about 6:30 until probably 10 o'clock tonight we'll be selling animals.
Wow, and your dinner tonight is not like a vegetarian dinner, is it?
I am sure that they can accommodate some vegetarian options, but no, that is not typical. Because it is the fair sale, we have both a beef and a pork option for dinner.
So tell us about kind of a typical day for you with the animals.
Well, usually I have to feed first, and then I clean out stalls, work hair, walk them, train them.
So they don't do any of this themselves?
No.
Man, is that where you ever, I mean, do you ever wish they did?
No, because we work as a team.
And tell us about a typical day for you.
Well, I start about 6:30 by feeding the sheep and my steer, and then I give them about an hour and a half to 2 hours to eat, and I go down and work sheep, and I have a schedule where every other day they get legs done, and every other day they get, worked, because they can't learn themselves. We have to train them really well so we can take them in the show ring and have a chance at winning. And then about 5:30, I go out and rinse my steer and do the hair care process on him, since they won't eat when it gets super hot, and we need them to gain as much as we can. And so I rinse him, leave them tied up for about an hour and a half with fans on them to naturally dry them. Instead of blowing their hair dry, I let them natural to implement the hair growing process better. And then I put him away, clean out his pen, and feed him. And about 8:30, 9 o'clock, they get let out into the field to run and play, since the steers need exercise, and it's hard to exercise them like I do my sheep.
So essentially, you're operating a steer spa.
Yes, I am.
Why is it important to do all that?
You don't have to, but I like the hair, and it makes them look poppier. And I didn't just do the fair. I jackpotted, and I know Maddie did too with her hogs. But the hair is kind of just like an extra pizzazz. But if you're going to grow the hair, you have to put the work in. It can't, grow itself. So you have to
rinse it every day, and then we wash it once a week so we don't, like, get it too oily with the soap. You want to make sure it just is getting rinsed 6 times a week and then washed once a week.
Now, you said jackpotting?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's where we travel around Oregon or even the whole United States, and we show, like, really competitively. I would say our fair is almost as competitive in the certain aspects as a jackpot or some of the jackpots. Our fair holds a lot of jackpot kids. And we get to travel almost every weekend through pretty much all spring and summer together, and we get to share experiences. I've met some of my best friends through jackpotting, and one of my best friends doesn't even live in the state. She lives in Idaho, and so I talk to her all the time, and we just met through jackpotting.
Wow. So, Rebecca, obviously these kids, this is quite an experience. This is like your whole life in a lot of ways.
A lot of these kids are really committed to it. I think what's really neat about this program is that it introduces a lot of kids to livestock that maybe they wouldn't have an opportunity to interact with in other ways. We have a lot of particularly FFA kids that are in those school-based agriculture education programs and get to pick an animal, you know, to really care for and learn more about. And then, yes, and for some, it really sparks passion, and then they start showing in other areas and booming businesses and lots of different growth there, which is just really neat to see.
Wow. So as we wrap up here, again, tell people what the time frame is for today.
Yeah, so for today at 2:30, we start buyer registration for both previous bidders and new bidders. At 4 o'clock, we kick off with our grand entry and our grand champion market steer. We'll finish selling those steers, have dinner, and then come back for those goats and hogs. So we will be here from 2:30 to probably 11 o'clock at night.
And you guys have basically been living here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, good luck this afternoon. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks so much for having us, Kyle.
All right.
Thank
that wraps
you.
Up Inside Douglas County for today. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, live at the Douglas County Fair.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.